Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number three, live right here on the early line on this Tuesday on Sports Grid. The long holiday weekend is over. It is game week in the National Football League. In this third hour, we'll talk some MLB with our insider Craig Mish up next. We'll have a couple of baseball breakdowns for this Tuesday. Now in the month of September, some WNBA action. And then, of course, we will take an early look at this NFL season as well. We'll talk some Super Bowl favorites here to begin hour three.
Yeah, so we've got a lot of hot topics to get to. The steam rolling through the first 2 hours here. More hot topics to come. Getting you ready for this week's NFL kickoff Thursday, Friday, then Sunday, then Monday. And the Sports Grid Network, we always got you covered with the hottest topics. Bringing you that information at the top of the morning, Ben, which the people so appreciate out there.
Yeah, absolutely so. And as it is week number one of the NFL season, our first game week of 2024 in the National Football League. We talk the end of the line and who in February in New Orleans is going to go home a Super Bowl champ. Well, at least until we get to that point, who should enter the year as the favorites on the FanDuel Sportsbook? That was our question to all of you and Fade the Public. So, DRS, all offseason long, it's been the Chiefs and the Niners back and forth. Co-favorite, San Francisco a favorite, KC a solo favorite to win Super Bowl 59. As we enter our first game week of the year, some optimism for San Francisco, at least in signing Brandon Ayuk to the long-term extension. Today we heard that they are finalizing a rework deal with Trent Williams to end his holdout. But Kansas City has moved in front with an optimistic perspective from the odds. KC is plus 550 to win Super Bowl 59. San Francisco, second best number at 6-1. Those two teams separated by just a half dollar. And San Francisco, $5 in front of everybody else, even with the second best price. So it's just the Chiefs and the Niners with those two numbers that are below 10-1 to win Super Bowl 59. Who should be the favorite? Unsurprisingly, most of the public going with Kansas City.
And it should be that way, because why they have Patrick Mahomes? And I can't get enough of what Kansas City did last year. So many of us talked about, if you were going to beat the Chiefs, Ben, last year was your year to beat the Chiefs. Didn't have home field advantage, didn't have that explosive offense. And at the end of the season, when the confetti fell down, it was the Chiefs once again winning a Super Bowl, now trying for three in a row. And for my money, a better team that they had last year. Now, yes, injuries will creep in. Guys do get older. We understand that. But we're not talking about who's going to be the favorite, Ben, to win the Super Bowl January 1st. We're talking about it right now, September 3rd. Taking the field to start the season, who should be that favorite? It should be the Chiefs. Even though I do think the 49ers, to be honest, pound for pound, the most talented team overall in the NFL, I think goes to the 49ers. But the one thing the 49ers don't have, that's Patrick Mahomes, who seemingly can beat any defense at any time, anywhere, even if his offense isn't all that great or explosive. And that's why you're seeing that 61% of the vote coming in with the Chiefs. That's why the 49ers are 13.5. But shout out to people chiming in, too, with the others. close to a quarter of these votes coming in for others. Like, you know, we're seeing, so Eron out here with the Lamar Jackson meme. You got the Ravens from Shaky. Yeah. David chimes in with Buffalo. Like, there's a lot of other fan bases that are coming in saying, you know what? Don't leave us out here to dry. But I think the one thing's for sure, as a handicapper, you're not supposed to do this. But I just tell myself, is Patrick Mahomes going to play this week? Yep, the Chiefs are going to win that football game. It seems so simple just to be able to do that.
It is a very simple thought, but it has actually paid out many a time. Six years with Patrick Mahomes as the starting quarterback in Kansas City. Last year was the first time in the six that the Chiefs did not win at least 12 games or host the AFC Championship. They got to the AFC title game. They got to a Super Bowl. They won their second consecutive Lombardi Trophy. Now the Chiefs trying to do something we have never seen in the history of the NFL. That's win three straight Super Bowl championships. We have seen eight teams repeat as a Super Bowl champ. We've seen three of those teams miss the postseason altogether. We've seen two get to a conference championship game and three ousted at some point in the postseason. We haven't even seen a team, Donnie, in the hunt for a third straight Lombardi play for that Lombardi trophy. So the Chiefs just know that from the odds perspective entering this season. Now, I was a little bit pessimistic on San Francisco just based on how the offseason had played out, the weird scenarios around Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams. Those seem to have been cleared now entering this first game week of the season. And the 49ers have the pedigree. They have played in two Super Bowls in the last 5 years. They have come up short against KC. So that's why the Chiefs, from the odds perspective, should be in front of the Niners, in my estimation. But the 49ers have played in four of the last five NFC Championship games. And although I think the Eagles win the NFC, I think the 49ers are going to be back there, and if not back there, at least to the divisional round, to have an opportunity to get to their fifth NFC title game in the last 6 seasons.
And also, sometimes you take a look at Ben Wright from the season before. He used to get a little bit of a bump from winning a Super Bowl. Yes, you get fat and happy. Guys want paychecks. We understand that. Some guys are going to leave at free agency. Like, you know, Snead goes over to the Tennessee Titans. But they still have a pretty competent core there of defensive backs. But you always look at the losing side. All of that effort gets to the Super Bowl and you come up short. And for my money, I thought San Francisco was going to beat the Kansas City Chiefs last year in the Super Bowl and were the more talented team and couldn't come up with that victory. So yes, you come back where there's not a lot of moving parts on the 49ers. Just about everybody is back there, but also question marks just to start the season. Yes, Brandon Ayuk was unhappy, wasn't getting paid. He's now in the fold back being paid. You know, Trent Williams is one of the best. Left tackles in football. He's back in the fold and he's paid, but he's still 35, 36 years old at the start of this NFL season. And also Christian McCaffrey, who was injured entering into the playoffs last year with that calf injury, missed most of training camp this year with a calf injury. The one thing we never know is if a team is going to be injured. You can't qualify that or quantify it, I should say, at the opening day. But Christian McCaffrey has a history of getting banged up. How does this football team look if McCaffrey goes down for a couple weeks stretch at this point? Last year, when a couple of those guys got banged up earlier in the season, the 49ers didn't look all so good. But at the end of the season, they were healthy and a well-oiled machine right up through to the Super Bowl. So there are a lot of question marks, and you do get some of those downsides saying, you know what, that Super Bowl hangover, sometimes, Ben, that's a real thing.
And DRS, we have talked about how Kansas City under Patrick Mahomes with six full seasons as a starting quarterback, including six straight runs at least to the AFC Championship, has only been booked as a dog 16 times in total. Four of them last year, AFC title game in Baltimore, Super Bowl 58 against San Francisco, the Chiefs winning outright in both. I love the replies that we always get, and we love the fan interaction for the Fade the Public poll. Shout out our guy, Eron, who has the Lions in his avatar photo, but then said the Ravens should be the favorite, Detroit, that fourth best price at 12-1. And Hollywood Hernandez, a frequent replier on the FTPs, always says something a little bit out of left field, like the Commanders should be the Super Bowl favorites. Not necessarily the case from the odds perspective. The Eagles round out the top five at 13-1. And Donnie, I think it will be really interesting because we give a lot of credence, and rightfully so, to both KC and San Francisco based on previous playoff pedigree. Who's going to be that second team that can compete with them for the AFC or NFC championships? Or are we going to see some teams make a run? The Jets in 18-1 number. The Cowboys at 18-1. The Bengals have really been the biggest thorn in the side of Kansas City throughout the last five seasons or so. Of those other teams in the top 10, are there any that with some value intrigue you at all?
Yeah, I'm telling you, the two maybe coming out of the AFC here, we'll keep it quick. The Houston Texans, looks like they're either riding a rocket ship or a rocket ship of disappointment here. You're either going to the moon or you're coming back down for a crash landing. But I still do say there is some love for me on the Cincinnati Bengals if this week you show Ja'Marr Chase the money. Because T. Higgins took a bad deal taking the franchise tag, but seems like he's content and happy with that. You get the big three back in the fold in Cincinnati. Why can't they do damage, Ben?
Our MLB insider, Craig Mish, joins us next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Our MLB insider and the host of Newswire, Craig Mish, joins us live right here on this Tuesday on the early line following the long holiday weekend where, Craig, the calendar has flipped to September. About 25 games or less for all clubs around MLB. The hunt for October is on as the regular season draws to a close. We appreciate your time and your insight live right here on the early line.
Yeah, I mean, look, this has been great for me. You know, the team that I cover in baseball started off the season 0-8. The team that I went to school started off the season losing by 70. So, yeah, I mean, we're just off to a great start here with baseball and now with football as well.
Yeah, Craig, sorry about that. Your Florida Gators not putting up much of a fight to Donnie's Miami Hurricanes on Saturday. Unfortunate. However, before we get your insight on MLB, am I hearing this correctly? Craig's son over the weekend in the biggest baseball news threw a no-hitter in some little league action. Craig Mish, what are the details?
Yeah, it was a big moment. Yeah, I mean, the perfect game tournament. We didn't get to finish it because of the rain, but yeah, I mean, got the call, five no-hit innings, shutout ball. I mean, honestly, very, very close to a perfect game on a 3-2 count. Walked the kid, and then also on a 3-2 count, it looked like a curveball for a strike, but the kid, you know, when a curveball comes in, you know, kids get a little scared. My son gets scared of curveballs too, to be fair, but curveball comes in and then you get hit. But other than that, perfection. Yeah, perfection. Go. Yeah. First time he's ever done that before too, so we'll have a full story coming up on, on NewsWire.
Wow. Play-by-play.
Well.
A play-by-play. Yes. Craig, you hate doing schedule breakdowns in the National Football League, but I think a pitch-by-pitch report of your son's no-hitter would do the people well on Newswire starting at 11 a.m. Eastern. In the bigs, we go all around here on the daily basis. Craig Mish, yesterday the Yankees on the road after dropping two straight sets in their opener in Arlington. Gerrit Cole, darn good. Six innings of work, striking out nine against the Rangers, only allowing a single earned run, but did exit the game early with what the Yankees are calling a right calf cramp. He will be monitored tomorrow. Tomorrow is today. Craig, are you buying what the Yankees are selling, that it's only a calf cramp?
No, I mean, look, as you guys know, love leading off with the Yankees on daily basis. So let's dive right in. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to have to do it in an hour from now, too. So, you know, I think with something like this, you know, everyone questions injuries. They question the teams for their reporting. And, you know, honestly, with what goes on in this day and age in baseball and even in all sports, you're hearing less and less about the severity of injuries just because they don't have to be reported as extensively. Latest story coming out of Houston that Kyle Tucker may have had a break in a bone or something like that from back in June, which is why he hasn't played in 3 months. But I think I'm gonna err on the side of optimism for this one just because it's not arm-related, it's not shoulder-related. And indeed, if it is mild, then I think that Cole pitches again very soon, if not a week, 2 weeks. And they'll monitor this, but the Yankees are headed toward the postseason, and they need him for game one. And so that's when I believe he'll be available to pitch.
Yeah, they certainly do. Hopefully it's not one of those things that will linger and they can certainly handle their business. Because if you take a look at the American League standings today, if the season was over, the Yanks would be the top overall seed in the AL, followed by the Guardians and the Astros. Close by are the Orioles. If we're looking at that wild card race, too, is it over, Craig, in your mind in the AL? Does it look like the Twins, Royals, and Orioles, let's just say, will be those teams? Or could you see something out of the Red Sox trying to climb back in there?
Yeah, I mean, it could happen, but I think, Donnie, those top six are super realistic at this point.
Yeah.
You know, credit to Detroit, by the way. Ben, we're going to have to take a look at that over for the Tigers, I think, next season. I think Detroit is on their way. I could see them being very active in the offseason, getting their way back to where they need to be. So, yeah, Donnie, I think you're right. It is just basically Boston at this point. But I don't know. One of those teams, Boston, Kansas City, Minnesota, one of them has to get super hot to sort of impose their will in these last 30 days or so. If Boston was able to roll off, let's say 11 out of 12, 12 out of 13, 14 out of 16, something like that, that would put them in contention for that final wildcard spot. But Donnie, I don't see that. I see Boston kind of playing like how they have been, a little bit over 500. I just don't know that that's going to be enough to get in.
Despite the six-game skid for the Royals, they still maintain a four-and-a-half-game lead for that third and final American League wild card spot. In the National League, the Dodgers in front in the NL West by five games. The Phillies have a seven-game lead in the National League East. The Brew Crew up by double digits in the National League Central. And the Padres and the Diamondbacks still in front of Atlanta for those top two wild card spots. So, Craig, the most compelling race is that third and final. Now just a half game lead for Atlanta in front of New York. The Mets have won five straight. The Braves dropped three of four this weekend in Philadelphia. When all is said and done, who takes that final wild card spot in the National League?
Yeah, I mean, I'll still lean on the Braves here, although I could see the Mets doing it. It was 1 year ago, by the way, Ben, that the Cubs had this spot and completely fell apart in the final month of the season and fell out of it. So hard for me to endorse them. I'll say Atlanta gets it, but, you know, you can't discount the Mets. They're going to look back at the end of the season, I'm going to guess, and say if Edwin Diaz was just a little bit better in that ninth inning, maybe we would have gotten in. And you can't predict that sort of stuff. I mean, the ninth inning in baseball is the hardest thing to predict in all of sports. Predicting a closer going into the season being great is almost impossible if his name is not Class A these days. So I'll say the Braves.
And if we take a look tonight, you take a look at Boston and the New York Mets. They're going to match up tonight. Slight favorite towards the Mets. And also, as you talked about the Braves, Chris Sale on the mound as a minus 350 favorite tonight. So it doesn't look like we're probably going to get that matchup we wanted to, where both of these teams look like they're going to win. But from a Mets perspective, they've beaten again the Red Sox tonight, do you think?
Yeah, and playing okay at home, I think that's going to be the key for the Mets here. They do have a number of home games in September that can certainly help them. But you know, I see this kind of series as a back and forth, you know, three game series. What I saw last year in watching the Marlins very closely, Donnie, is that you can expect the unexpected in September. Teams that you think are pushing toward the playoffs fall apart. Teams that you think are out of it all of a sudden make a push, and we're just simply not there yet. But the last couple of weeks of this season, that NL East is going to be wild down to the finish.
Yeah,
the Mets took the opener against Boston yesterday at Citi Field 4-1. The Red Sox on a three-game slide. Catch Craig Mish on Newswire leading off with the New York Yankees at 11 a.m. Eastern. More MLB breakdowns next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's football season. It's the home stretch of the Major League Baseball regular season as well. But do not forget about the WNBA home stretch with the playoffs on the horizon continues. We've got less than 10 games remaining in the 40-game regular season in the WNBA. So let's look at where the odds are at this moment. The New York Liberty, still the best team in the league, with a short price now in front of the Aces, plus 125. And Donnie, that's a story because the Aces were the favorites entering this year, the two-time reigning WNBA champs. Even after we got back from the long All-Star and Olympic break, the Aces and the Liberty were co-favorites at plus 155. Now New York well in front.
And they should be at this point now, right? Now, granted, the best player in the WNBA does reside on the Las Vegas Aces, and that's going to go a long way to determining who's going to win the championship. But if we're just looking at the regular season and who's having the better regular season and deserving to be the favorite, it's the Liberty, 27-6 on the season, 8-2 in their last 10 games. They have been the most consistent team from start to finish during the season, and it was only a matter of time before they overtook the Aces. And quite frankly, maybe they wouldn't, but the Aces at 20-12 now, 6 games back, technically here in the lost column of the Liberty. There's no way you can make the Aces still the leaders here. Now, granted, as I said, playoffs are coming up, things do change, but it's got to be the Liberty. They're the better team.
Sure, and I would agree with that. There's no doubt about it. New York, 27 wins, but the Aces, one of 5 teams right now that have clinched a playoff spot as well. Only one team has more than 25 wins, 25 or more, and it is the Liberty. The Aces got off to a slow start following the Olympic break. They were 1-3, but now they've won 3 of their last 4, including on Sunday against Phoenix, in which Asia Wilson scored 41 points and had 17 boards. It was her second time in about a 6-day span where she put up 40-plus. I still think the Aces are going to be there at the end of the road. But the biggest movement we have seen, DRS, on Caitlin Clark in the Indiana Fever. Now a 19-1 price. It is 6th best around the W. 23-1 before the season got underway. On Sunday, Indiana, a big victory. Now 17-16 this season, snapping a WNBA record of 189 games in a row of playing with a losing record. Indiana above 500 for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, paying off top draft picks, playing good basketball for your team. Who would have thought that? And by the way, getting that rest and not actually going to the Olympics was big for the Fever. They're now sitting winners of 4 straight games, 8-2 in their last 10, as you pointed out. Now over 500 in command of a playoff spot. And it feels like this is one of those teams that if you're at the top of the standings, do you think you're better? Liberty, Sun, Lynx. Yes, you do. But you don't really want to mess around with the Fever because there's one person that could get cooking behind that arc. That's Caitlin Clark. You want to watch out for that. But I'm impressed by the Fever playing in front of packed houses on a night-to-night basis and playing their best basketball late in the season. Love to see that.
Absolutely so. So the Fever, one of 6 teams above 500 again last year in the 12-team WNBA league, with 8 of them making the postseason. Only 4, just half, had a winning record. It looks like 6 will have that now. By the way, the Fever have won 4 straight, 6 of 7 since the All-Star break. And Caitlin Clark, 31 points against fellow rookie and the Chicago Sky on Friday, that being Angel Reese. The odds off the board. Do not listen to anybody that says the Rookie of the Year battle is still outstanding. Caitlin Clark has won the award. She had 28 points and 12 dimes against the Dallas Wings on Sunday. She has the 3rd best price to win the WNBA MVP award, although Asia Wilson, a hefty favorite to get that done, and rightfully so. A playoff preview tonight out in Connecticut, the Seattle Storm taking on the Connecticut Sun. A 4.5-point spread in favor of the Sun. Connecticut, 2nd best record in the WNBA at 24-8.
Yeah, I do. I'm going to go with the Sun in this one. Home court advantage is a big deal. -4.5, you figure, if they're up late in that game, salted away for the couple free throws. But you're right. The Sun, 24-8, taking on the Storm, 19-13. Should be a good one here, but I lean towards the Sun at home in Connecticut.
Couple of point props to pay attention to. Dejounte Carter Carrington, over 12.5 would be an area I look. The other games on this Tuesday night slate, again, the Aces rounding into form. They take on Chicago tonight in Las Vegas. Bad taste in Vegas's mouth, I would guess, because it was the final game before the All-Star break. As a double-digit favorite, Chicago came in there and won outright. The Mercury now a game below 500, trying to get back on track against the Atlanta Dream, who are tied with Chicago for an 11-21 record, battling for that 8th and final spot. The Mystics and the Wings round out the slate tonight. MLB breakdowns from the mind of Donnie Wrightside. Up next, you're on this Tuesday on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
things get a little bit wonky here in the final month of the MLB regular season following Labor Day weekend. Because it was a holiday and we saw 11 games yesterday, we saw some weekend sets come to a close on Labor Day, some starts, some off days that continue into this Tuesday. Not a full 15-game slate, 13 games listed with odds and rotation numbers on the FanDuel Sportsbook, including inside Citi Field, game number 2 of the midweek set tonight between the Mets and the Red Sox. New York taking game 1, 4-1 behind a strong pitching performance out of Luis Severino. Tonight, David Peterson on the bump, minus 132 in favor of the Amazons, over under at 8. Two different streaks at play. Boston on a 3-game skid. The Mets have won 5 in a row.
Yeah, I think the Mets are going to be able to win again, have to, if they want to keep pace with the Atlanta Braves. You have Chris Sale on the mound, as we talked about in that previous segment here, a minus 350 plus favorite, which is crazy. They'll probably win that game, which means the Mets must win, and they do have the better pitcher on the mound today, and that's in David Peterson. Take a look at this. 59 innings pitched over the past 60 days. His ERA, 2.44, but as we know, that's not the end-all, be-all. It is a slightly higher xFIP number at a 4.24, but still much, much better than Cutter Crawford, who on my card, Ben, I have 21 pitchers rated with a minimum of 20 innings pitched over the past 60 days. He's 20 out of 21. And you take a look at Crawford, a 5.40 number here for the ERA, but a 5.25 xFIP number. And if you're taking a look at Cutter Crawford struggling with right-handed batters, you dip right in. Mark Vientos, Pete Alonso in the middle of that lineup should be able to do damage. Quite frankly, if you're looking at the first 6 batters in the lineup for the Mets, you're taking a look and saying, okay, how have they done over the past 30 days against right-handed pitching? Very well. Lindor, Nimmo, Vientos, Alonso, Winker, and also McNeil, high ISO power numbers and weighted on base percentages. The Mets will get another victory tonight over there in Queens.
Yeah, it could be a big one for the Mets. They're a half game behind the Atlanta Braves. So now we go to Atlanta. The Braves would have to lose, and the Mets would have to win to overtake the Braves for that third and final National League wild card spot. The reason I present it as such, it does not appear the Braves are going to lose tonight at home against the Rockies. Atlanta is a minus 350 favorite on the FanDuel Sportsbook because Chris Sale gets the nod tonight. The over-under stands at 7.5. Donnie, is there any way that you would want to play this game between the Rocks and the Braves, knowing it is such a strong price in Atlanta's favor?
And it's kind of crazy. Probably more towards the under. Sale, we know, has been phenomenal. His last 60 days been a 2.25 ERA and xFIP number 2.61. But you take a look at Freeland. He's the 10th overall pitcher on the card today. 56 and two-thirds innings pitched, which does include some starts here in Colorado. And how about this? An ERA of 4.29, which is a little bit elevated, but his true number, that xFIP, 3.76. And here's the issue that you're going to have. Freeland's a left-handed pitcher. The bats have woken up for the Atlanta Braves, particularly against lefties over the past month. Harris, Sol, Lair, Olsen, Laureano, Arcia, and Murphy, all high ISO power numbers. Good luck if you're Colorado. Colorado's one of those teams on offense. Like, if they're at home, you sort of like, you know what, I'll take a flyer on them. But on the road, you just take a look at the last 30 days against left-handed pitching, and Sale has been tremendous. Doyle's got a 176 ISO, which is about average. Stallings has a 231, but only through 16 at bats. Everybody else in that lineup, below average with their ISO power numbers. Good luck, Colorado, playing out the string against an Atlanta Braves team that absolutely needs it and is smarting after losing 3-4 to the Philadelphia Phillies.
Sale and the Braves, not only a minus 350 favorite tonight on the bump, Chris Sale is minus 550 now to win the National League Cy Young Award, and really, how could you knock it? He only trails Tarek Skubal, who is going to run away with the American League Cy Young Award, and the odds not even posted at the moment, in wins and ERA. Skubal's got 16 wins and a 2.51 ERA. Sale has 15 wins, a 15-3 record, and a 2.58 ERA, second best in both categories around MLB. The Braves did drop 3-4 this weekend in Philadelphia, no doubt. It has tightened that race in the National League wildcard chase. But Atlanta, prior to the weekend in Philadelphia, had won 6 of its previous 7. Now we go out west. A divisional series this week between two teams in different spots. The Diamondbacks still in that wild card position. 2.5 games in front of the Braves at the moment for the second of those 3 wild card spots. Only a game behind San Diego for that top spot. The D-backs looking to bounce back from dropping 3-4 against the LA Dodgers at home this weekend. Now in Northern California, a slight road favorite, total of 7.5.
Good bounce back spot here for the Diamondbacks. As you said, always tough to play. The Dodgers are playing their best baseball right now, but I do like the price point there at the FanDuel Sportsbook at a minus 116. The reason being is you might just see the name Ryan Nelson. Ah, not that great a pitcher here, but when you take a look at his statistics, particularly over the past 30 and 60 days, they're pretty impressive. If we go by the last 2 months, 63 and a third innings pitched. How about an ERA Ben of 2.84 and an xFIP of 3.27? It's not a great lineup that you're going to take on with the San Francisco Giants. So I do put them in that category of I like that price point, they should win. If we flip it over from a Giants perspective, Harrison has been a decent pitcher on the mound, and we do need to see that Arizona Diamondbacks lineup bounce back against left-handed pitching, which they haven't been great over the past month. I think they're the better team. I think it's a good spot to bounce back, and I expect a pretty good performance out of Ryan Nelson. Not one of those big name guys, but boy, he's been putting work in over the past 2 months here, no doubt about that.
The D-backs have lost six of their last eight, almost unheard of for one of the, if not the hottest teams since the All-Star break. In fact, they have lost two straight series against the Mets and then again losing three of four this weekend at home against the Dodgers. The first time, DRS, Arizona has dropped two consecutive sets since the end of June, losing four of six in two consecutive series against the Phillies and the Twins. Almost unheard of. Skins Day! Number 19, that's XIX in the history of MLB. It will be interesting to see how the Buccos deal with Skeens today inside Wrigley. Minus 130. The Pirates, a favorite. The over-under, 7.5. But Skeens, the DRS, really just going about five or six innings, not throwing more than 100 pitches any longer as Pittsburgh is out of playoff contention. The Cubbies had a six-game win streak snapped yesterday, still 3.5 back of Atlanta for the third and final NL wildcard spot. But crazier things have happened in the final month of the season.
No, and bats have really heated up for the Chicago Cubs, which makes it an interesting matchup against Paul Skeens. But if we're just going from a pitcher-to-pitcher ratio here, that ratio is much better on the Pittsburgh Pirates side. Take a look at Skeens' last 60 days, and quite frankly, his entire season has been very good. 56 and two-thirds innings pitch, an ERA of 2.38, and a very manageable xFIP number at 3.09. We flip it over to the veteran pitcher on the mound, Kyle Hendricks, and he, over the past 60 days, 41 and a third innings pitch, much different scenario than Ben. 5.66 ERA, 5.03 xFIP number, but the questions always come up. You know Skeens is the better pitcher. At the end of five innings, they're probably going to have the lead. Why do you want to risk Paul Skeens throwing 100 pitches over five and two-thirds innings and leave it up to that bullpen only to see the Chicago Cubs come back in that environment? Maybe a run line first five inning is the most appropriate number because Skeens should have a good day. Hendricks should get hit, and by the time he leaves that game, talking about Skeens, they should have the lead. And why leave it the chance? Because put it this way, if Skeens is down 4-1 when the game is over, what's the big deal? They probably weren't going to win anyway, but there's a chance they have the lead. Yeah. And can blow it late against the Cubs.
Again, DRS, in August, Pittsburgh was really, really bad. When you look at the overall record, they were 8-19. They were two games above 500 at the end of July. So then you look at Skeens' starts here in the month of August. 100 in his first one, but when things started to go really bad in terms of pitch count, he hasn't thrown more than 93 pitches in his last four outings. Think about the last game he had last week at home against Chicago. Five innings of work, three runs scored when he was in, but only two of those earned, did strike out six. When he left the game after five innings, Pittsburgh had an 8-3 lead for the Cubbies to score 11 unanswered in the final three innings, including, I think, six in the top of the ninth. So, just to keep that all in mind for where Chicago is. We'll have some more baseball breakdowns on the other side of the break as we look at the wild card standings in the National League. Again, this is really the only place where things are interesting. Atlanta, a half game up over the New York Mets, 3.5 in front of the Chicago Cubs. No price on the Braves to make the postseason. The New York Mets at a plus 158 number. American League Central teams in action and plenty more on the other side of the break. More MLB best bets to come up next on TEL.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid, we continue going through the mostly full Tuesday slate in Major League Baseball. Can the Royals snap a six-game skid at home tonight against divisional mate the Cleveland Guardians? The odds makers not necessarily expecting that to be the case. Total of 8 in Cleveland, a slight road favorite at a -116 price. The Guardians winning yesterday 4-2. The offense for Cleveland, 2 two-run home runs out of Lane Thomas and Josh Naylor. That the difference for the Guardians, who have opened up a 3.5 game lead in the American League Central. What happens today inside Kauffman Stadium?
Yeah, showing their coin flip basically there from the FanDuel Sportsbook, bringing these two teams together. But I'm saying the better pitcher on the mound tonight is actually on Kansas City's side here, Ben. Brady Singer's last 60 days, 58 and a third innings pitched, a very manageable ERA at 3.86, an even better xFIP number at 3.21. What do we like about Brady Singer, the right-handed pitcher? Over his last 124 batters he's faced over the past 30 days, 26% of those batters have struck out. Lefty batters, that increases to 31.4%. The reason I bring that up, take a look at the lineup tonight as we anticipate for the Guardians. Lefty Kwan, lefty Jimenez, lefty Ramirez, lefty Naylor, lefty Manzardo, lefty Naylor, and lefty Rocchio. So if those guys are going to bat from the left-hand side, which quite frankly you're supposed to do against a right-handed pitcher, that feeds right into maybe that strikeout numbers here that could be a very big difference in the game tonight. Give me Kansas City to fight off those bad demons tonight and finally pick up a
victory. Come on now.
Yeah.
Donnie, as we learned late last week, our guy Vinny Pasquantino was going to be out for probably close to 2 months. Was it a broken hand? That was his ailment. Unfortunate for KC. The Royals still a 4.5 game lead, though, for the third and final American League wildcard spot. They're only a game behind Minnesota for that second of three wildcard positions. Minnesota on the road once again in Tampa tonight. They won the series opener yesterday, 5-4. Trevor Larnach, 3-run home run. Brooks Lee, a solo shot for the rookie. Good enough to outlast the Rays. The Rays at home today, a slight favorite, but again, a virtual coin flip. -112 on one side for Tampa, -104 on the other for Minnesota. Total at 7.5, and the under has the juice. What do we see tonight in the Trop?
We're going to enjoy the Festa tonight down there at the Trop, and that's taken under 7.5. Why? David Festa on the mound for the Minnesota Twins, a guy, one of those names that you need to get involved with here. 37 innings pitched over the past 60 days. How about an ERA of 4.34? You say, Donnie, that's high, but the underlying metrics tell you that xFIP number is a 3.11, and in a true pitcher's ballpark tonight, that should certainly help him out. You're also taking a look on the opposite side. Springs, not a lot of work here, but over the past 30 days, he has gotten in 100 batters, a 144 ISO against, and a weighted on base percentage right around average of 328. I think both of these teams in this environment, those pitchers on the mound, I'm not too sure we get 8 runs tonight. I'll go to the under 7.5.
Yeah, Jeffrey Springs gets that start for the Rays. Was great to start last year. Missed a considerable amount of this season. Hasn't been bad for Tampa in these spots. The Yankees, who would drop 2 consecutive sets before their first game last night in Arlington, did rally against the Rangers. 8-4, the victory for the Yanks. Gerrit Cole good, but did leave early with what the Yankees are calling a right calf cramp. We'll see if we have any updates later on this day. Carlos Rodon gets the start tonight against Andrew Heaney. The Pinstripes, a road favorite in Texas once more. Total of 9. What's the play?
Yeah, I think you're going to look at the Yankees tonight as the right side. You take a look also at the pitching prospects here of Carlos Rodon. Not a great pitcher this year, but his last 60 days, 4.10. Should be able to keep you in the game and a manageable xFIP number of 3.72. He is tonight, at least analytically, the better pitcher over Andrew Heaney. If you're looking from an RBI perspective, Heaney's a left-handed pitcher, has struggled at times with right-handed batters. You look right to that leadoff guy tonight in Gleyber Torres and maybe Aaron Judge. He still has sizzling numbers against left-handed pitching. His last 42 at-bats, a 5.83 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 616. If we're looking at that Texas lineup, the one thing that we do know, they don't hit left-handed pitching all that well, but they will have a ton of right-handed batters in that lineup. That's the way to attack Carlos Rodon. A left-handed pitcher, his last 29 at-bats, and quite frankly, his 115 left-handed batters he's faced on the season, he's been dominant, but a little bit leaky against right-handed batters. Still going to go with the Yankees. We're not saying they need this game more than the Texas Rangers. Not really the right way to approach it with roughly a month left to go in the season, but I think Rodon be able to step up to the plate and the Yankees superstars be able to carry the tide. I think the Yanks handled their business tonight.
Texas 8 games below 500, 65-73 for the reigning World Series champs. They are going to miss the postseason more than likely. Jacob deGrom expected to return this week for Texas. See what he's got ending 2024 into 2025. The Astros, by the way, six games in front now of the Mariners, who have lost three straight games and are an even 500. Not much out of the American League West this season. By the way, Aaron Judge an RBI yesterday. Giancarlo Stanton a home run. Judge has not hit a home run in seven consecutive games. The horror. Yep. He had a seven home run run in a six game stretch prior to now being blanked seven straight games plus 190 to record a long ball tonight against the Rangers. DRS, the American League Central is such a funny division. You got four teams now above 500, including the Tigers, who are a game above 500 at 70-69, and more than likely three teams making the American League postseason. The Guardians, more than likely the divisional champs. You got the Twins and the Royals in wild card spots. And again, Detroit, a game above 500. But because the White Sox are 31-108, the division as a whole, five teams, 36 games below 500, despite four of the five teams having a winning record. All to say, some fun facts in trivia as we get ready for tonight. I don't know if Cade Povich will ever be booked as a $3 favorite once again in his life, but he's minus 310 for the O's tonight as they host the White Sox.
And by the way, if we are just looking, look, it's obvious that the White Sox have given up on the season. They don't care about wins and losses at this point. But there comes a point where sometimes numbers actually don't make sense. Now, hear me out on this. Povich is on the mound. I don't know how much longer Povich should be pitching for the Baltimore Orioles if they want to stay in that pennant race and win that division. 21 out of 21 pitchers today. He's 21. His last 60 days, he's got an, listen to this. He's a 300 or better favorite tonight, Ben. He's got an ERA that's almost 10 over the past 60 days. 10. That's not one start. It's 25 and a third innings pitched. His exit number worst on the card at a 6. Now, you look at that Chicago White Sox lineup, 1 through 9, they can't hit left-handed pitchers. But I'm just telling you this right now. Don't even make them a parlay piece. Should they win Baltimore? Yes. But you're talking about by far the single worst pitcher on the card is a 3-1 favorite tonight. It tells you how much the Chicago White Sox have quit, but you can't take that price. That's ridiculous.
The O's won last night 13-3 in the opener against the White Sox. DRS, enjoy the money line. Some college football week 2 look ahead next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line to round out our 3 hours on this Tuesday to kick off a new week. It's game week number 1 in the National Football League. It is game week technically number 3, but week 2 of the college football season. Always a little bit confusing when you have week 0, week 1, and now week 2. And we've got some really good matchups in store. Wonder what the rankings are going to look like. Florida State, we expect to fall out at noon Eastern time. The second AP poll of the season following the preseason top 25 is set to be unveiled. Will we see some teams move up, move down, and what it means for this weekend slate? Because the marquee matchup is in the noon Eastern time window on Saturday in Ann Arbor, a top 10 tilt between the SEC's Texas and the Big Ten's Michigan. Fourth-ranked Texas at the moment, ninth-ranked Michigan, the reigning national title winners. We have seen this line work so heavily in favor of the Longhorns. When it opened up over the summer months, it was only 3.5 in favor of Texas. That even a statement about the Longhorns' outlook for 2024 and all that the national champion Michigan Wolverines had gone through this offseason and the turnover both in coaching staff and in roster. It is ballooned above a touchdown. Just pure craziness. Based on the results, maybe that's why from week number 1, but is it a reaction? The Longhorns shut out Colorado State, putting up 52 points. Quinn Ewers, 3 touchdown tosses, 260 yards. We saw Arch Manning throw his first ever touchdown at Texas, ran in for a score as well. And probably most impressively, the Longhorns stifling a decent Colorado State offense who averaged more than 305 yards through the air last year with a returning quarterback and top wide receiver. Michigan struggled offensively. Davis Warren, out of nowhere, named the starter for week number 1 against Fresno State. let's not overlook Fresno State, a team that has won at least 9 games, 4 of the previous 5 full season. So the Bulldogs, a good team. Michigan did not cover as a 20.5-point favorite, winning 30-10. The game ceiling and icing play, Will Johnson, a pick 6. 44.5, the total for that game between the Longhorns and the Maize and Blue, by the way. Again, it's really correlated if you look at how Michigan wants to attack this football game. Downfield rushing attack against a top 10 rushing defense from a season ago. Can they shorten the game, keep it under a total, and cover as an underdog? The second ranked versus ranked game we expect in Charlotte. Neutral site, but NC State not a far trip, of course, from Raleigh. Tennessee will take on NC State. The Volunteers more than a touchdown favorite as well, laying 7.5. Nico Iamaleava made his first start on Rocky Top on Saturday. Looked really good. Threw for more than 300 yards, 3 touchdowns. Dylan Sampson, the returning back for the Vols, 3 rushing scores as well. NC State struggling against the FCS foe in Western Carolina on Thursday night. That was a single score game in the fourth quarter before the Wolfpack rallied, came nowhere close to covering as a 32.5-point favorite despite winning by 17. Here's the weird thing about college football. Utah and Baylor are Big 12 programs, but based on previously scheduled non-conference matchups, the Utes and the Bears in Salt Lake inside Rice-Eccles on Saturday is a non-conference game. It does not count for Big 12 conference standings. Utah more than a 2-touchdown favorite against Baylor. Won the game by just a touchdown a year ago. Utah looked really good against FCS foe Southern Utah on Thursday. 49-zip. Cam Rising, 7th year of college football, out there for 5 offensive possessions, threw a touchdown on all 5. Oklahoma State and Arkansas, the game in Stillwater. The Pokes easily dispatching South Dakota State, the reigning FCS title winners, on a 29-game win streak, 44-20 on Saturday. Arkansas won 70-zip against Arkansas Pine Bluff on Thursday. Good debut for Taylen Green and Sam Pittman this year. K-State and Tulane. Avery Johnson, a couple of scores through the air and with his legs. They take on the Green Wave under John Sumrall. And Tulane looks really good with a new head coach. I think this game is going to be competitive and probably be decided by single digits. K-State nearing a double-digit favorite. And, of course, it's the Cy-Hawk game inside Kinnick Stadium on Saturday. Iowa State and Iowa. Total 37.5 for a game where scoring is at a premium always. It is the lowest FBS total so far for weekend number 2. That does it for us today on the Early Line AP poll reaction tomorrow. For sure, it's game week with football season fully here. The Early Line returns tomorrow, 8 a.m. Eastern time on Sportsbook.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Okay. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Power up fall projects with Ego at Lowe's. Every tool delivers power beyond belief. So whether it's leaves, limbs, or lawn cleanup, count on Ego to deliver the power, performance, and innovation you need. And now for a limited time, save up to $60 on select blowers, chainsaws, and pole saws. Shop Ego today at Lowe's. Offers valid through 10-1 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.